Are you looking for your next favorite read? If you crave connection through stories, then this is a podcast for you. Welcome to Lovely Books Podcast. I'm your host, Emmy B, and it's my job to highlight the lovely books that keep you reading and connect you to the world. Hearing personal connection to great stories will bring you something to think about, something to laugh about, and something lovely to read. Hello and welcome to this episode of Lovely Books Podcast. I'm excited to be here this week to do something a little bit different. I would like to take this week's episode to really highlight some Hispanic authors, some Latinx writers, and talk a little bit more about Hispanic Heritage Month. For those of you who are unfamiliar with this American observance, each year Americans observe National Hispanic Heritage Month from September 15th to October 15th by celebrating the histories, cultures, and contributions of American citizens whose ancestors came from Spain, Mexico, the Caribbean, and Central and South America. And the observation of this week started in 1968 as Hispanic Heritage Week under the President Lyndon Johnson and was expanded by President Ronald Reagan in 1988 to cover a 30-day period starting September 15th and ending in October 15th. And this was enacted into law on August 17th, 1988. So actually, really not that long ago. I'm an 80s baby, and so this happened during my lifetime. I've always kind of wondered the significance of these dates. It's not always easy for me to remember when Hispanic Heritage Month is because it's not a full month as we think, the 1st through the 30th, but it's actually September 15th to October 15th, and so it spans 2 months. So the day September 15th is significant because it's the anniversary of the independence for the Latin American countries of Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. In addition, Mexico and Chile celebrate their independence days on September 16th and September 18th. So Columbus Day, or Dia de la Raza, which is October 12th, also falls within this 30-day period. So interesting for me in Salt Lake City, Utah, this morning as my kids were getting ready for school, I just asked them the same question I ask them during Black History Month. Is there a point at any time in the last 30 days where your teachers at school have addressed in any way Hispanic Heritage Month? And it's always surprising to me, it's always disappointing to me that the answer is no. And it has been no for a couple of years. I do tend to get a little bit feisty, and I will send emails to the administration asking that these types of things be acknowledged. In fact, last year, a little bit unrelated but related to this, I was quite offended on September 11th that Patriots Day was not honored in the public school system and ended up sending a bunch of, you know, highly emotionally charged emails to the administration at my student schools asking that they take a moment to observe and honor these holidays. And the good news from that is that this year, on September 11th, they did actually take time during morning announcements to ask for a moment of silence to honor and show respect to this. And to my surprise, and I genuinely appreciated this, is that a couple of my kids came home and said that their school teachers were visibly emotionally moved as they made their own recollections about what happened during this time. So, how does that relate to Hispanic Heritage Month? Well, first of all, it's another circumstance where in our cultural environment, especially right now, I feel like in our current cultural environment, there are still many people who think that it is appropriate and fine not to acknowledge and not to honor cultural differences, because as long as we're not saying something bad about another culture, another people, a diverse group, then it's okay if we say nothing. And I think that we are really finding, especially over the course of the last couple years, that when we say nothing, that we do a large disservice to those cultural minorities who have big and beautiful contributions to make to our current culture in America that has always historically been a melting pot. And so that's why today I really wanted to take time to do this. Also, on my Instagram page yesterday, I posted the question, who is your favorite or who is a beloved Hispanic author that you really love? And the reason why I did this is because as I was preparing for this podcast episode and I was thinking about the Hispanic authors that I love, and I looked at my shelves, I found a huge gap in my personal library for own voices, Hispanic authors. And as I reached out to other people, I felt like they kind of felt the same way. But as I did research online and read about and revisited a lot of these Hispanic authors, I found that I have read many of their books, but I have not acknowledged them as own voices, Hispanic or Latinx authors. And so again, I want to say that my personal opinion is that when we do not acknowledge and honor the cultural perspective of an own voices book, we are doing that author and that culture a huge disservice. So hopefully, through this podcast and through the books that I would like to bring to your attention or discuss and kind of highlight today, it will give you an opportunity to sort of expand that gap in your own personal library, in your own personal reading, and talk about with your book clubs, with your friends, all of these great Hispanic authors and the contributions that they have given to contemporary literature. As I was doing research on this, there are a million great internet resources, one in particular for teachers, where it asks questions that are aimed specifically towards educators to sort of help you open your mind and see, am I including Hispanic history in my curriculum? And how can I use Spanish history, particularly during the month of Hispanic Heritage Month, to enhance what I'm already doing? So here are just a couple little fun facts. One of the questions that was asked was, who is included in your curriculum and who can be added when teaching Hispanic history? So I drew a complete blank at this. So I would encourage especially teachers to kind of, you know, look into this. Obviously for me, non-historical figure, but culturally well-known figure is Don Quixote, which we did a podcast episode on. But there have been great historical fiction books written about different aspects of Spanish history. I really encourage you to find those, and we're going to talk about a couple of them. The other one is, what are lasting contributions of Hispanic people and groups to the culture and history of the United States? So this is just a fun fact. My absolutely favorite food is nachos. My maybe second favorite food is fish tacos. And of course, I'm a sucker for pizza. But I just wanted to Google search because I'm such a lover of Mexican food and because we do have a strict Taco Tuesday policy inside my home, I wanted to see what the most popular ethnic food in the United States is. And the number one is Mexican food. So 27 states in the United States out of 50, the most popular ethnic food that people consume is Mexican food. Also, I think a lot of times, and a little bit correctly and a little bit incorrectly, we attribute the holiday of Halloween, which happens to be coming up, with Dia de los Muertos, which is celebrated in Mexico as the Day of the Dead. And this holiday runs from October 31st, which is in America Halloween, to November 2nd. It's a three-day holiday where Mexican families pay tribute to the dead. They believe that on the Dia de los Muertos, the dead come back and visit and can receive gifts from their living ancestors. The funny thing is that in researching this, really the only contribution from that and the highly significant contribution from that that we see in our modern Halloween is the skeletons. And for me, skellies are a quite beloved part of Halloween. I love to see the skeletons out in people's yards doing funny things. And that contribution really does come not from the pagan holiday of Halloween, but from the Mexican celebration of Dia de los Muertos. The other question I wanted to answer for listeners going into this discussion on Hispanic authors and Hispanic Heritage Month is the question of, is Latinx the same as Hispanic? Latinx is a term that we have been hearing a lot of, and I think it can be a little confusing. Latinx is a term that was introduced in the early 2000s as a gender-neutral term for Latino or Latina. In addition to encompassing those who identify outside of the gender binary, such as those who are transgender or who are gender fluid, the term has been embraced by the Latin LGBTQ communities. Latinx is kind of a non-gender conforming term for people of a Latin descent. So let's dive into some books now that we kind of have that great background on Hispanic Heritage Month and kind of where it comes from. As I was looking through these books, I did a couple Google searched. I found a great article from the New York Times. I found a great article in the Women's Home Journal about Hispanic authors that are must-read authors for contemporary fiction. Of course, my mind always goes to Gabriel Garcia Marquez and to Isabel Allende, who is a Chilean-American author. She is a prolific, highly awarded writer of more than 20 books that have been translated into 42 languages. So I think a lot of people know her from the story of A Long Pedal to the Sea, but she, as I've said, has written more than 20 books translated into 42 languages. And I found a TED Talk that she did online that discusses how to live passionately. She is a wonderfully passionate Latin woman, as most Latin women are. And her TED Talk is an absolute joy. So I would encourage you to look up her TED Talk, How to Live Passionately, by Isabel Allende. She's wonderful. Another author who's maybe in our mind and maybe comes to the forefront when we talk about Hispanic authors is Sandra Cisneros. She wrote The House on Mango Street, and it's been taught in schools throughout the U.S. It's been translated into more than 20 languages. It's beautifully told in an audiobook. It's a tale told in vignettes about a young Mexican-American girl living in Chicago. It's a beautiful coming-of-age story, and the audiobook is actually narrated by Cisneros herself. She also has an autobiographical story collection that's called A House of My Own, Stories from My Life. So she's one who I grew up reading that book, maybe a third one we go to in our minds, who has been writing for a long time and her books have been available, is Laura Esquivel. She is a Mexican novelist, screenwriter, and a politician who serves in the Chamber of Deputies. Her first book, Like Water for Chocolate, became a bestseller in Mexico and the United States and was later developed into an award-winning film. Now, I maybe love this book because I love Mexican chocolate. Mexican hot chocolate. My husband's mother is Uruguayan, and so my children are white Hispanic, which can be very confusing for a child. For example, my 12-year-old daughter was at school in her Spanish class, and her Spanish teacher knows that her father is Uruguayan, and she was mentioning that to her friends in her class, like, my abuela this and my abuela that. And she said something like, yeah, I'm white Hispanic. And her friend just kind of laughed and said, I don't really think that's a thing. And she came home really concerned, saying, Mom, my friend said, I'm not white Hispanic, that's not a thing. And I had to assure her, yes, Haley, you are white Hispanic, and that is a thing. I think it can be really confusing for a lot of white Hispanic kids to kind of navigate their way, especially if they have native speakers in their home and they have a lot of native culture in their home. And yet they are fair-skinned, light-eyed, especially post-World War I. There was a huge migration of Europeans to South America. My husband's family, their direction of migration was from Germany to Spain and then to Uruguay. Through that migration, they maintained light skin, light hair, light eyes. You know, we just got to be aware and we got to be a little bit careful. So those are some books that have been around for a while. I'm excited to let you know about books that have been published between 2018 and 2021 that are great own voices representations. I think there can be a lot of trauma associated around some migrant stories, a lot of trauma associated with the leaving of a country and the reasons why we leave a country. And a lot of these books are expressive of that. A lot of them are not. So I'd like to start with Undocumented Americans by Carla Conejo Villavicencio, and it was published in 2020. This collection of stories kind of falls between reporting, fiction, and a memoir in its storytelling. It renders an intimate portrait of the undocumented condition in the United States. So she documents stories from New York, Miami, to Michigan, and tells these stories that have been largely absent from modern journalism and from literature. This is a great book. It's a short book. I think it's a slow burn because it's hard information. Okay, so the next book that's also kind of along these lines in terms of like the trauma associated with the migration, the reason we leave, almost the forced migration, is a book that was published by Harper in 2020. The author is Robert Lovato, and the name of the book is Unforgetting, a memoir of family, migration, gangs, and revolution in the Americas. In this book, Lovato unearths his family secrets that his father kept to tell the story from trauma and violence in El Salvador to moving to the San Francisco's Mission District. He takes this book to reckon with his multi-generational history. Lovato blends this book as a memoir and a reporting, shedding light on the cycle of bloodshed that spanned the El Salvador Civil War, the birth of MS-13 in California, and the exportation of gangs to Central America. Again, this is, you know, bordering on kind of historical fiction, kind of looking at that trauma that is associated with a more forced migration. I want to talk about this next book by Luis Alberto Urrea. I love this book. It's called The House of Broken Angels. It was a national bestseller. It was on the list of the New York Times 100 most notable books. It is a lovely, lovely tale of a family in a San Diego neighborhood and a last party that this father throws for his family, the coming together of a family, the ordinary and heroic acts of the De La Cruzes, who fought to come to this country to find a place and make it their home. It's also a beautiful reflection of this grandfather sort of looking back on his life and seeing his legacy as he comes towards the end of his life. It is a beautiful book, The House of Broken Angels by Luis Alberto Urrea. A couple of books that I have seen a lot of and I haven't read that have gotten fantastic reviews. Let's talk about those. If you follow anyone on Bookstagram and if you are a Bookstagrammer, if you have a book subscription to, say, for example, Book of the Month, these are going to be books that you've seen. Number one, Mexican Gothic. I believe this one came out last year in 2020 by Silvia Moreno Garcia. And it is a book that Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos are currently working with Hulu to adapt this Gothic horror novel into a movie or a series. I don't know which one. But that's really fun. I didn't read this one because Gothic horror makes me a little bit nervous. I don't like scary books. And so I didn't dive deep into this one, but it got fantastic reviews, comes highly recommended. Another book that you have probably seen, I Am Not Your Perfect Mexican Daughter by Erica Sanchez. She's a poet, an essayist, and a fictional writer. She's the daughter of Mexican immigrants. I don't know if this book came out side by side with its Spanish counterpart. Yo no soy una perfecta hija mexicana. I am not your perfect Mexican daughter. But I do know that the audiobook is out, narrated in English and also in Spanish, which is pretty cool. This is another book that came out with really great reviews. So I suggest that you check that one out. If you are a romance novel lover, you had me at Hola by Alexis Daria. It is Alexis Daria's latest romance novel. It's a sexy story that follows two telenovela stars who get to know each other offset of the movie they're working on after their first impression is less than ideal. So if you are a romance, rom-com type of book reader, then this might be one for you. You Had Me at Hola by Alexis Daria. I hope you've had a pen for this podcast because I'm just giving you the best stuff. My last two that I wanted to make you aware of today, Sabrina and Corina's, this is a collection of short stories, Gali Fajardo Anstein, a 2020 American Book Award winner and a 2019 National Book Award finalist for fiction. This is a book that I actually put in my Amazon cart and then saved for later and I had not forgotten about. So this is definitely one that I'm going to read and have on my shelf. Okay, so I saved the best for last, one of my most favorite reads that I read last year was The Poet X by Elizabeth Acevedo. I listened to it on audiobook. It was just so good. The novel is, it's a verse novel and it follows 15-year-old Xiomara Batista, her life in Harlem, her Dominican mother, and her need to sort of break out of this Christian, strict, Latina, maternal, matriarchal life that she has and just kind of find herself. There were so many fun moments in this book. Xiomara, she finds her voice writing slam poetry. I'm a massive fan of slam poetry. I think it speaks especially to young people in a way that not all literature does. This is a young adult book. Other than The Poet X, I have read With the Fire on High, that is also by Acevedo. She's got some other great books out too, including Clap When You Land. So I hope in listening today, I've been able to give you maybe a book or two that you can add to your library. Today is the last day of Hispanic Heritage Month, and so even though you're not going to be necessarily reading these books specifically to honor Hispanic contributions to literature during this year's Hispanic Heritage Month, I hope that you will take the time to check out some of these authors to read some of these books. I will list in the description of this podcast the names of the books that we discussed today and their authors. Add these to your bookshelves, read them, let me know what you think. If you have more books to recommend that I haven't mentioned today by Hispanic authors that you love, please leave them for me in the comments and definitely check out our Instagram, our Facebook, and our Twitter where you can comment on our posts online. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Lovely Books Podcast and also hope that you will join us again next week when we highlight another lovely book.